Psalms 137 this evening. Psalms 137. Verse 1, the Bible said, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth, if I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, Rezit, Rezit, even to the foundation thereof. O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed? Who art to be destroyed, happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stones. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again for the privilege to be in your house this evening, Lord. And thank you for the good singing, Lord. Thank you for these that's taken time out on Wednesday afternoon to come to worship you. Lord, I pray now that you'll help us for just a little bit. Lord, you know what we stand in need of. And Lord, I just pray that you just ever, again, the prayer request that's been made, meet each need, Lord, that was requested this evening. We realize, Lord, we're in a troubled world. Lord, we're in a fast-moving world, and we're in a changing world. And Lord, I just pray that you'll help these that have sickness, these that have problems. Lord, just be near to each and every one and meet the needs this evening, Father. Lord, I pray now that you go with us through this service. Help us for just a little bit. Lord, you know, again, the hearts of each and every one here, Father. Lord, if there's one here that's not saved, Lord, I pray, Lord, that this might be the night they trust you. Someone may be listening by the way of the webcast. Lord, I pray that you speak to hearts. Help us for just a little bit, and we'll be careful to praise you and give you the glory for it all. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' sake, amen. I want to look at the first four verses this evening of Psalms 137 and look at the subject of backslid believers. Backslid believers. You know, we're all susceptible to backsliding in our life if we don't stay close to the Lord, if we don't stay in the Bible, if we don't stay praying and seeking God's will and direction for our lives. And we're just human beings. I mean, it's already been said about Lord saving us from what he saved us from. And we're still faced with those things. And a lot of times we backslide and not even realizing what's taking place in our lives. And I believe it's important that a child of God stay close to God and that we would have the things of God at heart in our lives all the time. And we know a lot of times that's not true. But here in Psalms 137 we find a situation of these Jewish believers here that you can just sense the sadness in their lives as they're homesick for their homeland, as they've been carried into captivity into a strange land. And we see, by way of introduction this evening, we see four truths about these people. Number one, they were in bondage. I mean, they were in Babylonian bondage. And you go back and look at the history of Israel, and you'll see why they were in Babylonian captivity here, that God was chastening them for their past dealings with him and how they had gotten away from the worship of God, the Word of God. And for many years, 400-something years, they had went against God's Word, and we find them serving time in bondage in Babylonian captivity. And then John Phillips' book on Psalms 137, he said, Babylon was and will be one of Satan's world's capitals. It was there that idolatry was first invented and institutionalized by Satan as a means of enslaving mankind and diverting worship to himself. It was there in Babylon that the secret mysteries took form. It was from Babylon that all false religions spread over the face of the world. Babylon was its source at this time. And Babylon was where men first conceived the idea of world empire. It was in Babylon that the first League of Nations was formed. It was there that man first embarked on a one-world society held together by common political, religious, and cultural ties. It was in Babylon that Satan first introduced the concept of a superman, a great rebel. Nimrod was the lawless one, the man of sin of his day, the world's first antichrist in the type. And it will be at Babylon, he said here, that these early prototypes of Satan's plans will be replaced by reality. It was to Babylon that God ultimately banished the Jews for their idolatry and persistent rebellion against his rule, so that there, in the capital of idolatry, they might be cured of idolatry. So we see a sovereign God. He knew what it would take for his people that had got involved in idolatry and worshiping of idols, and they had drifted away from adhering to the Word of God and what God told them to do as far as laying the land aside every seventh year. And they had, for 70 years, they had not laid the land aside. And we find that God, in His love for them, He chastened them. He put them in a place where they would see what idolatry really was about. I mean, Babylon was a wicked place. And so God, in His sovereignty and knowing what it would take, He put His people, the Israelites, in that Babylonian captivity there. And there was all kinds of idolatry there. And I've read before that ever since then, they have never fallen into idolatry again. They just serve the one true God. Even in the Jewish religion of the way that they serve God, they've never went back into a life of idolatry. There's probably no better cure than being around something that you would learn to abhor. I mean, on every corner, all kinds of idolatry. So we see they were in bondage here. Number two, they were broken. The Bible says there in verse 1 again, said, "We wept." So we find that they were in a place of idolatry. They were away from their homeland, and they were sad, and they were broken here, and they wept. And then they were backslid. Verse 2 says they were silent instead of singing. He said, "We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof." And Brother Cotton Harris was telling me one day, he was pastoring a little old church, I believe it was Philippi, up in Lumpkin County back yonder, and this young lady that lived and grew up in that area, she come to church one Sunday, and she had just recently gotten out of a prison. She had somehow killed her husband in a party or some kind of domestic dispute or something. She'd served some time there in prison, and she had just gotten out, and she dropped by the church, and he was talking to her, and he asked her about singing. She said she didn't sing no more. Said she had hung her harp upon the willows. And she'd been raised enough to know, and she'd heard of this and read this passage of Scripture, but she had gotten to such of a backslidden state in her life that she had openly professed Christ as her Savior. She would sing, and she could really sing, and it would just stir the crowd, and people would shout and get happy. But now we found that she, after serving this time and after living the life of sin that she had lived, she had backslid on God, and she even said she had hung her harp upon the willow trees. And that's what had happened here, these Israelites. We know the story of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. All these Israelites that were in bondage, they weren't depressed. They weren't discouraged. They took a stand. They lived for God in spite of that. But we find that this group of Israelites here, as they sat down by the rivers of Babylon, and they couldn't sing a song no more. That's bad shape to get in. And if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves in a backslidden state in our life before we even realize it. They were in bondage. They were broken. They were backslid. Let me say, they were believers. They were believers. They were those of the chosen of God. Of all the people of the world, the Israelites was God's special people. They were His chosen ones, and they still are today. But they had backslid on God. They had went away from Him. They had got involved in idolatry and failing to be obedient to the Word of God, and they got in trouble. Can I say we'll still get in trouble tonight if we get away from God? If we fail to stay with the truth and we stay with the true worship of the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. And we find a lot of people worshiping idols. They don't even realize they're worshiping idols. There's still idolatry going on in this land today. As we look around, we see, and I've said this a lot of times, I read this one time, and it really took root in my mind, that America's two biggest gods in this land is sports and education. It's sports and education. Look at the big sports arenas. Look at the places where they play all the big games. Look at the college campuses. What beautiful campuses we have. The expense that goes into educating our children today. And it's got to the point that people worship education and they worship sports. It's sad to say. But we find these believers were in a backslidden condition in their lives. They'd been taken into captivity, and we find that they lost their song. They'd lost their sensitivity, probably to God's presence, even in the land of Babylon. I'm glad that God can still be close to you in Babylon, even if you are there. We know that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, hey, they stayed true during that time. They prayed and they stayed close to God, and God was with them during that time. So we'll give you just a few things and then we'll go to the house this evening. First of all, we see the sign of a backslid believer there in verse 1. Most people, as I already said, backslide before they even get out of church. And so we see the notice here of the area in which that they sat down. They sat down on magnifying the Lord in their lives. And we see that all around us. First thing you'll do, you'll see people that used to worship. They used to hold their hands up. They'd praise God. Hey, they'd get happy when they go to church. They would, every once in a while, you used to hear people shout. I ain't heard nobody shout in a long time. I mean, it's like we've all lost our joy this evening. We don't magnify the Lord in our life. Hey, we don't magnify His presence in our churches. The reality of Him being with us and the reality of His presence in our church, we don't see much magnifying going on. But they sat down on magnifying the Lord. They've sat down on minding the Lord. I believe we ought to, wherever we're at, if we are in captivity, hey, we ought to mind the Lord and give Him our all that we can in everything that we do. That's why it's important to read your Bible. That's why it's important to come to church and be in church. That's why it's important to be in Sunday school. God said not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Upon the first day of the week, let everyone lay aside his Lord his problem. It's right to go to church. It's always been right. And as long as I've got breath, I'm going to preach that it's right to be in the house of God. It's right to be in Sunday school. I've said this a lot of times. Most churches don't have a discipleship program, and Sunday school is the best discipleship program that a local church can have. A Sunday school teacher that's filled with spirit, they study, they put forth an effort, they get the material and they give it to you and they teach it to you and they tell you what the Bible says and teach it and give you some biblical knowledge of what God expects out of it. But they've sat down on minding the Lord. And then they've sat down on ministering for the Lord. Even in this strange land, you know, we're in the dark days that we're living in. We're in a strange land. It's much stranger than when I was a boy growing up in this area that we live in. I mean, people, it meant something to be a Christian. People would minister for the Lord. Hey, they would get out in the community. They would do what they could to encourage people and to witness to people. We don't see much ministering for the Lord today. Even in churches, a lot of times they used to have special programs where the ladies of the church would minister to the community's needs a lot of times. But they've sat down on ministering for the Lord. Notice not only the air in which they sat down, but notice the atmosphere in which they sat down. They sat down in an atmosphere of discouragement. We're living in discouraging times today. And if we don't get our eyes off of man and off of this world, hey, you'll get discouraged. You'll get discouraged coming to church sometimes. I mean, I'm a pastor and I'm a preacher, and I find myself almost, I was looking over my notes today, and I realized, hey, I'm about in a backslid condition myself. Let's just be honest. We're all susceptible to backsliding. Backsliding is just not being where you once was with the Lord. They're in an atmosphere of discouragement. Hey, you look at this world situation, all this transgender stuff, all this homosexuality stuff that they're pushing, they're promoting on the television and everything. Hey, it'll discourage you if you're not careful. When I was growing up in school, hey, there was no such thing as a transgender. Hey, there was a few homosexuals in Gainesville, but everybody knew them and they were all marked. But today, it's crazy. If you're not careful, you'll get discouraged. You look at the economy and what's going on. Hey, you'll get discouraged financially if you're not careful. And that's because we're not trusting God. We're not looking to Him. We're not relying on Him the way that we should. An atmosphere of discouragement. I mean, hey, they were discouraged about where they were. They were in Babylon. There was idols on, idolatry on every corner. Any kind of god you could imagine was in Babylon. A lot of them grew up in God-fearing homes that recognized God. They grew up learning about God. Their parents had spent their lives teaching them from the Word of God, as Deuteronomy told them to do, while they sat around the house, while they were going in the way. Hey, we ought to be teaching our children. So when they get into a point in place like this, they'll not get discouraged. An atmosphere of being disgruntled. No doubt they were disgruntled about where they were at. A lot of times we get disgruntled about where we are. And I'm preaching to myself again. We get disgruntled about people won't come to church. We get disgruntled about what's going on around us in church. And an atmosphere of disbelief. They were in an atmosphere of disbelief. You know, probably one of the worst things for a Christian is to live a life of unbelief. Hey, we ought to believe that God can, and not only that He can, but that God will meet our needs. Even in 2022, when things are looking bleak and things are looking dim, hey, we're living in a good time to shine. Light shines good in darkness. We shouldn't live in an atmosphere of disbelief, and we shouldn't live in an atmosphere of defeat. Most of us are living a life of defeat. Hey, we're saved. We're forgiven. Billy Mitchell, you say there ain't but one thing better than knowing that you're saved, and that's for knowing for how long you're saved. Hey, you're eternally kept by the power of God. You're just going to live as long as God lives. Brother Sammy Allen, you say, don't get too excited. Hey, you're just going to live as long as God lives. We shouldn't be living in a life of defeat. But I promise you, you look around and we're living in an atmosphere today of a defeat. Notice not only that attitude of defeat and the atmosphere that they were living in, but notice the attitude in which they sat down. They sat down. They had to look back. They had to look back to see the blessings of God in their life. Hey, if we're having, and we're always talking about the old days and what God used to do in the old times. Hey, did you know God won't do one thing for one generation that He won't do for another one? Hey, the revivals that we talk about in times past, and I've seen a few revivals. One in particular, we're still talking about it, happened in 93 at Harmony Street Baptist Church. We went for 6 weeks of meeting. We got revived and we got stirred up for God. Some of us had revival and it's still lasting on. Brother Joy and Miss Dana that was here the other night, they were in that revival. Miss Dana, I think, got saved. She was a church member and she got saved during that revival meeting. Brother Joy still continuing on. He's took a lot of hard licks from family members. But hey, Brother Joy's hanging in there. I love Brother Joy. He's been a blessing in my life. To see he's still going on, Brother Mark Stroud, he's preaching all over the country. He was in that revival. And others that we could name, hey, that God worked in their lives. But these, the attitude in which they sat down, they had to look back to see the blessings of God in their life. We ought to be able to see the blessings of God today in our life. And then backsliders are always looking back. They're always looking back. They're never looking forward. And then not only we see the sign of a backslid believer, but we see the silence of a backslid believer there in verse 2-4. See, we hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. But we find that they were silenced. They were silenced here because of the captivity, because of the oppression that was around them. Hey, they decided to quit. They just hung it up. You know, that's what happens first. People usually backslide. They get out of the church. They quit coming. And you'll see them. They'll usually backslide on the pew. And next thing, they'll start missing here and they'll start missing there. Next thing you know, they're missed a month. And next thing you know, they just hang it up. They've been out of church for years. They've went back to the place that they used to be. They decided to quit. They hung it up. Can I encourage you this evening? There's no place to quit. And I know sometimes you might want to quit and you think, what's the use? Hey, let's just throw in the towel and let's just hang it up. Let's just hang it up and go to the house. But there's no place to quit for a child of God. We've all got lost loved ones. We've all got lost friends. Hey, we've got a responsibility here at Open Door Baptist Church to keep a place on the side of Hog Mountain Road, hey, where people can come and worship and hear the Word of God and get saved and get rooted and grounded. Not only they decide to quit, but they decide to be quiet. They decide to be quiet. Nothing to say for God, nothing to share for God. Hey, they were sitting and silent like a lot of church people in churches today. And I think it's pretty bad just to go to church every Sunday and then leave and you don't say nothing else to nobody the rest of the week. You don't mention Jesus to the people that you work with. You don't never try to witness to someone. That they may just be looking for someone to share a word with them. A word of encouragement. That's why it's important, I think, to go to church. One of the important things is Hebrews 10:25, where it said, not forsaking assembling yourselves together, but exhorting one another. Hey, you may have a word of exhortation for someone tonight that I might not have. I might get up here and preach a whole message and not exhort. Maybe they didn't get nothing that they needed, but you might come up and say some simple little old something to them. And it might be just what they needed. Not to say that they might not have got nothing out of the message, but it might not have been what they needed. They might have needed something that you had, a word of exhortation that you could give them to go on. They decided to quit. They decided to be quiet. And there's a lot of quiet Christians today. If we've ever needed to stand up and speak out for the Lord, I believe it's in the day and hour that we're living in. Hey, people have been quieted down. I mean, the freedom of speech. I mean, they're taking it away. Hey, you're not supposed to try to push your religion on somebody else. Well, the Bible tells us that we're to give the gospel. Every creature needs a preacher. And it might not be a preacher per se, but it might be you this evening, a man, woman, boy, girl. Hey, you might have the right message to preach to someone. Hey, that might come to know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. We see the sign of a backslid believer. We see the silence of a backslid believer. We see the slavery of a backslid believer there in verse 3. He said, "For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion." Backsliding will put you in bondage this evening. You get out of the will of God, I promise you the most miserable person on this world is a really, truly born-again child of God, hey, that's backslid on God. They're in bondage this evening. You're miserable in your heart. You're miserable in your heart. Hey, nothing makes you happy. Hey, that's why you can't please some people. Because they backslid. They're miserable in their heart. That's why they're so touchy. That's why they're so sensitive. A person that's right with God, hey, they're not too sensitive. They're not too sensitive. They're willing to be told some things if they need be. They're willing to be encouraged to step out by faith and do some things. You're miserable in your heart. Hey, not only you're miserable in your heart, but you're miserable in your head. You can't tell some people anything. They have everything figured out. That's what's wrong with folks. And you're meaningless with your hands. In other words, you don't never do nothing for God. Hey, you don't want to participate in nothing. You just want to come and everybody else do. You don't want to do nothing. They say that 15% of most churches people does everything that's done in a church. It's time we get on board. But when you get backslid, hey, you're miserable in your heart, you're miserable in your head, and you're miserable, meaningless with your hands. You don't ever do nothing. The slavery of backslid believer. There's a lot of wasted talents and opportunities in the house of God with some people. Some people just come, they never and I've seen people that sat back and never would do anything, and then finally they sang and they had a really tremendous voice that they could be a blessing to God. Sometimes people just don't step out. They don't want to do nothing. So the slavery of backslid believers, the sarcasm of backslid believers, there in verse 4, said, "How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" Why couldn't they sing in a strange land? Hey, they could have been a real testimony or a witness here in the place that they was. But I'll tell you why. Hey, they were backslid. They had a sorry spirit. They were unpleasant to be around. So what did they do? They just sat down. You get somebody that's backslid, hey, they got a sorry spirit about them. They're critical. They're always frowning about everything. Hey, they're always fussing about something. They're always negative and full of complaints. Hey, they're always fuming about this or that. Nothing never goes right, and you don't never do the right thing that pleases them. But then, they're always forgetful. They never remember all the times that people helped them. Hey, they never remember all the times that people, all they remember is the times that people let them down. That people forgot about them. They don't remember all the good times when somebody was doing something for them or going out of the way that they might know about something or other. The sarcasm. And then, number five, we see the steps that lead to becoming a backslid believer. Number one, you're always looking for fault. You mark her down, you watch people. They start getting backslid. Hey, they're always looking for fault. They don't like the singing, they don't like the preaching, they don't like the programs that's going on. You look for fault. You lose your fire. I've seen people who used to be fired up. They start getting backslid. They lose that fire that they once had. I'm going to tell you what. Hey, the fire of God in your life is important. We need to be fired up for Jesus this evening. Not only you look for fault and you lose your fire, but you live foolishly. You live foolish. You do things that you... person that's right with God normally wouldn't do. You live foolishly. I've seen them. I've seen it. You let go of your foundation, your convictions, the things that you used to believe. Hey, when you first started out, some things you used to believe, they just don't seem important anymore. They just seem minor. You lose your foundation. You know, a lot of these cults is filled up with backslid people or not saved. Or not saved. Most likely, if they end up in a cult somewhere, hey, they're not saved. But it would be possible for a person to backslide, to apostatize, and get in some of these cults, possibly. And then not only you lose your... You look for fault, you lose your fire, you live foolish, you let go of your foundation, but you listen to your family and friends. You listen to your family and friends a lot of times, them that are non-church people. You listen to them about the way you live your life, about going to church. Why, you go to our church all the time, you give your money to that church, all they want is your money anyway. You wasting your time over there, all them people, hypocrites. You listen to family and friends that are not right with God, or you listen to other backslid people. Usually it's some backslider that drags somebody else and causes them to backslide because they begin to listen to them about all the critical things that they have to say. Listen to the wrong people. And then the sixth thing, and lastly, the seriousness of becoming a backslid believer. The seriousness of becoming a backslid believer. Number one, it'll affect others. It'll affect others. It'll affect those that are around you. It'll affect those that are not going to church, that are not saved. It'll affect them. That's where they come up with all these things. We got backslid people out here. That reason some people say, "Hey, the church is filled with hypocrites," because they know how they live. They know the things that they say. They know there's no joy in their life anymore, and it'll affect others. It'll affect others in the church when somebody starts getting backslid. You watch it. I've seen it. I've seen it around here, down through the times. I've seen it everywhere I've ever been. Hey, someone starts getting backslid, it'll affect somebody else. Worst of all, it affects you. Hey, you'll do things that you never thought that you'd do. Don't never say never. Don't never say never. You don't know how far you would go when you backslide. Not only it affects others and it affects you, but it affects your health. You watch people that backslid, their health. A lot of times when they get bitterness, a root of bitterness in their heart, nothing makes them happy. It affects you, your health. I've seen people get backslid and they just deteriorate even in their health. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. You find people that's never married, they don't have a merry heart. They're always just gloom and doom. It'll affect them. And then, lastly, it affects your relationship most of all with God. When you get backslid and you begin to walk afar off and you begin to take the things of God for granted, you begin to miss church just flippantly, you miss reading your Bible. Did you know it's easy not to read your Bible? You get caught up and get busy, you won't read your Bible. You get involved in everyday activities, and if you don't read this Bible and let this Bible get in you, hey, you're pretty likely to backslide. You may be saved as the Apostle Paul, but I'm going to tell you, if you don't stay in this book and you don't stay on your knees in prayer and you don't stay close to God and having a good relationship with Him, hey, it'll cause you to get out of whack real fast. It affects your relationship with God. Hey, God wants us to be right with Him. He wants us to have a rightful relationship. And I'm going to tell you, you need a rightful relationship in this day and hour that we're living in. We're living in a messed up society. But I'm glad that it's still possible to be right with God, and you don't have to backslide.